So let's open our Bibles. I actually want to talk today, just actually one verse from the book of Jonah. And a well-known book, if you don't know it, it's about a guy that really got so involved in his own life, in his own people. And literally, God says to him, I want you to go to the city. And actually, over time, falling so in love with his own people and with himself and his own comfort and convenience, he lost his heart for the lost. And how God basically tries to bring him back. And actually, eventually, when he just goes and speaks the word God gives him for the city, a whole city gets changed and he's upset. So may we not be like Jonah, hey? So before we start there, really what I want to talk about today is to tell you that one word from God can change a city. Amen. We can say many words about God, but it's actually a word from God that this city needs. And the amazing thing is God's heart is for cities. And actually, he wants to give every one of us in our spheres and circumstances and environment here, he wants to give you a word from him, which will actually transform your workplace, your sphere of influence, your school, wherever he's placed you. So let me ask you, what do you think 2018 will hold? It's very close. What's a month and a half and we're there. What will it hold for the believer? What will it hold for the church? What will it hold for the city? What will 2018 hold for us? For it seems like the Christian message is becoming increasingly powerless against this vast decline of spirituality, rising debts and political instability, rampant individualism, terrorism. What will 2018 hold? You know, what can we offer a world that questions everything, that believes in nothing, and increases their opposition against this Judeo-Christian worldview that we hold? Are the pillars of sacrifice, commitment, generosity and prayer that the early church was built upon, are those pillars still in even the average believer's life? Instead of us conquering the world, we are being conquered by the world, eh? So will the kingdom of God advance through us in 2018? Will it? So let me ask you, why are you here? Not maybe this morning, but why are you living in Edmonton? Why did you move here? How did you end up here, hey? You know, so many lived here their whole lives. I mean, who lived here in Edmonton from the beginning? Your whole life you've lived here. Hey? Look at that. There's not even half of the people here. Many has actually, you know, come along, you know, along in the city. And probably having been around for a while, you've seen many changes. Have you noticed this vertical invasion of nations? I said to Leonard, if you had to, if I didn't know where we were flying, I would think I'm coming to a different country if I look on the plane. Hey? But the beautiful thing about that is, you know, previously we had to go many places like a David Livingstone to the nations, but God is actually helping us. He's bringing the nations here. Right to our doorstep, hey? So the word God says to us is, comfort, comfort my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Edmonton. Speak tenderly to the city. Proclaim to her a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So I want to say to you, friend, maybe right now you're looking at this country, you're looking at this city, you're looking at this world, and all you see is like Ezekiel, just a valley of dry bones. But I want to say God sees an army. And the problem is, we're facing many challenges. is we start to live from the earth up. And God is calling us to live from heaven down. Didn't Jesus say, let's pray for that kingdom, that reality to come down here. And what we need to change our city, what we need to do to stand against these very things. And if you lose heart, the beautiful thing is, just look in the back of your Bible. We actually win. Amen. Sometimes it's like, you know, if I look at some believers, it's like, this is touch and go, man. You know, then it's God, then it's the devil. It's like this ultimate wrestling match. No, no, the battle's been won. You know, the whole different, you know, the World War, and again, you know, you get, what was it? There was V-Day and there was, what's it, D-Day? I don't know which one is which. But the one was actually, the war was already won. But people were still fighting in the trenches and they were fighting in cities. And as they were starting to bring the good news, to tell city after city, the war is over. It's been won. And that is, friends, what we are here to do, to declare that the war is won. God did not call us to try and defend the faith, to try and, you know, try and make excuses for Him and for the Word and all this. No, no. He's called us to declare it, to proclaim it, to say, actually, there is now a way to have peace with God. There is now a way for us to actually enter into this amazing life and adventure that God has called us to. So can I say, why are you here? For whatever reason, the Word says God determines the time and place of your dwelling. Maybe it was your decisions, you think. Maybe it was, you know, many circumstances. I want to say to you, friend, God has called you here for a time like this. God has called you to this city, actually, for a time like this. Why? Because He wants to do great things in the city. So, that was for free. So let's get to the sermon. So let me say, you know what? Firstly, we are all called by God to something. Do you believe it? We're all called by God to something. Let me ask you, why did Noah build a boat? Why did Abraham leave his family and his home and his familiar surroundings to go to some unknown place? What about Moses and Esther and Mary and Paul? If you had to find them along the way and stop them and say, where are you going? What are you doing? You know, Noah, why are you building this thing in the middle of a desert? It's never rained. Hey, was it your own idea? How did you come up with this? What would they say? They would tell you that actually it's their response to the Word of God. So Jonah 1 verse 1 starts by the word of the Lord coming to Jonah, son of Amittai, and He says, go to that great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before Me. And what does Jonah do? He goes the other way. You see, friend, in the same way, like Jonah, we can make it all about the people of God, as amazing as it is, and lose our heart for the city. Hey? God is calling every one of us, everyone here, to say, go to that great city and preach against it. What do we do? Now, I'm rather going to pursue my career. I'm rather going to pursue my marriage and my children. I'm rather going to be involved with these things, Lord. But God is saying, no, actually, I want you actually to go and proclaim My message to this city. Because God's heart is for cities, friends. That's His heart, eh? So like God, like Jonah, God is calling everyone here to Edmonton to bring this Rhema word, this word from God in your workplace, in your family, in your sphere of influence. Why? Because He has a great plan for the city. You know, He wants the city to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So, and He's looking for a man. Any men here? He's looking for a woman. Any woman here? He's looking for an old person. Anyone? Leonard, keep your hand down, eh? Someone who just has a heart after Him. through whom he can display his power, through whom he can make his rule known, through whom he can show his love and proclaim the good news about our King and his kingdom. Now the thing is, friends, before we can do all these great things for God, the question we all have to ask ourselves, before I can work for God, do I know the God of the works? You see, like Saul who meets Jesus on the Damascus road, he basically asks two questions. Lord, who are you? And friend, that is actually a question we have to continue to ask God. As we journey with him, he continues to reveal himself and shows me different things and aspects around himself. But then the next question is, what would you have me do? And even today we find many people that either know or pursue, they want to know who God is, or many of them are trying to do many things for God. But God is looking for both, those that will know him and those that will actually walk with him. So how many believers would you say is on the mission of God here in Edmonton? How many people is still wanting to have this city transformed by the power of God? Still doing things in a response to the word of God. How many are still doing the things that we do, the things that you do is still initiated by God? Hey? You know, because Jesus says, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak only the things that the Father has taught me. Can this be true? Is it possible that the very Son of God does nothing by his own initiative? Hey? But only spoke as the Father told him to do. Isn't that maybe the reason why many of the things that we do fail? Isn't that why many of our lives seem to be powerless? Isn't that maybe the reason why actually many of the things is just overwhelming us? Because the question is, why am I doing these things? Is God still the initiator? You know, if I open my Bible, it says, in the beginning, God. How many things, and I know in my own life, everything that does not start in the beginning with God ends in a problem. If a marriage doesn't start in the beginning, God. If raising children doesn't start in the beginning, God. If working in my workplace is not in the beginning, God, it probably will end up a problem. You see, we rather go and make a massive mess. And then at the end, when it's like we run out of all options and everything, we like ask God, please come and bail us out. But do it quickly, Lord. Hey. Actually, how many of us actually we want God to come and join us? I'm over here, Lord. Come and bless my mess over here. But God is saying, no, I have already been at work. In your sphere, in your family, in your city, God is already, he's the one who goes before us. He's already been at work. And when he saves you, when he brings you here, he brings you onto his journey. So it's actually not me trying to get God to join me. He's wanting me to join him. Amen? That's why I love Jonathan Edwards. He says, the purpose of every generation is to discern where is the sovereign Lord moving and to get behind him. So let me ask you, where's God moving in your workplace? Where's God moving in your family? Where's God busy in your city? Those are the questions we need to ask so that we can align our lives with him. Hey, and get behind what he is doing. You see, I have a testimony on both sides. I'm an opportunist. I'm an entrepreneur. I love to kick doors open that God is closing, you know. And I've learned to do things on my own initiative, failing dismally, open eyes going into great failure, but asking for God's blessing along the way, of course. And I know how to do things in response to God's word and initiative. And this has become to me so key. You know why? Because when you face a trial, when you face a difficulty, when I start to second guess my decisions and why am I here and why am I still doing this thing? When I start to wonder, am I still on the right path or in the right place, whether I should go and rather do something else, I need to be able to go back again. There's a specific time, a specific place, a specific moment when I know God spoke to me. When I remember God's very clear leading, we call it these altar moments. And the question is, friend, we have way too little altars in our lives. You know, Israel, every time God did something amazing and He revealed Himself to them in an amazing way, they would go and set up an altar as a remembrance. Like when they see it, when their children see it and say, what is this? Now, actually, this is where God took us through the Jordan. This is where God delivered us from these great enemies. And can I say, that is what the life God is calling us to, is that we would do things in response to Him. And then when He speaks to you, that you would make an altar of that thing. Because it's amazing how you can get back to that place and just say, no, this is actually what He's called me to. This is what He wants me to do. Otherwise, we are tossed to and fro. We are like little rag dolls thrown all over the place. And we're also running around with the world, with our eyelids turned inside down. We're all going to die because we lose sight of God and lose sight of His things. And we lose sight of, you know, letting Him be the one that initiates the things in our lives. And the moment I go back to that moment, instantly courage and peace and faith and assurance floods my heart. Why? Because God watches over His word to perform it. God's word shall not return to Him void. So again, we're talking about how a word from God that He will watch over, that He will take care of, can transform every area that He has placed you. So God takes responsibility for His word. How amazing is that? He is the one that's going to make this thing come to pass. That it's actually not my responsibility to do it. I mean, think of Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Joseph and David and Anna, the prophetess, and Mary. What made them great was their ability to hold on to God. And friend, I want to say to you, as God is busy shaking this world, as God is busy shaking many things, more than ever is it an opportunity for the people of God, the ones that's supposed to be on the solid ground called Jesus Christ, able to pull people out of the rough seas of this world onto the same solid ground. Eh? So when it comes to our city, we might see dry bones, but God sees an army. When you look at Edmonton, what do you see? Do you see a hopeless place? Do you see an uncertain future? Maybe you see, like me, lots of beautiful houses and many vehicles and new buildings and shops. Maybe all you see is long queues. Hey, broken roads, homeless people. But what does God see when He looks at Edmonton? Let me read to you what He says to Jonah when Jonah's all upset when God is starting to move in that city. He says, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Hey, amazing. Should I not be concerned over that great city? You see, friends, so easily we can get so overwhelmed by the city and the problems and the things like that. If God can be concerned over an evil, wicked city like Nineveh, you go do a study on what happened. That was a terrible place. That's why Jonah was very upset to go there. If God can love and be greatly concerned over Nineveh, do you think He's not greatly concerned over this city? Hey? When God looks at Edmonton, He sees thousands of people made in His image who cannot tell their right hand from their left, ignorantly heading for eternal separation from God. many in this multitude in this valley of decision, blinded by the God of this world, who don't see their need for God, who hasn't responded to His call for fellowship, His call to come to Him. And you know what? That is why God has placed you here. Because He wants to make His appeal through you. Hey? He's just looking for a man, just looking for a woman, just looking for any person that's just willing to say, Lord, come and make your appeal through me. Hey? Unsaved boss, unsaved relatives, colleagues, who knows? God says, I want to give you a word like I gave Jonah so I can make my appeal through you. You see, friends, why do we have so little impact? Why do we see so little of the power of God? You know why? Because we're often looking for it in here and not out there. Yeah? Do you know that in the book of Acts, 39 of the 40 miracles done is done out there, outside the boundaries of the local church? And I'm telling you, I have a testimony of the local church. Hey? I have a testimony of God rescuing my life, my family, and all of these things. Forever I will be singing His praises for the local church. But it cannot stop with us. Hey? This here cannot be God's best kept secret. Like grandma's cookie recipe. You know, on her deathbed. No one makes cookies like you, grandma. And no one ever will, she says, as she ate the cookie recipe on her deathbed. You know, in the same way, we often act as if this is God's best kept secret. Eating the cookie recipe. Where God actually wants us to go out there. Because a love for God must lead to a love for our neighbor. It just automatically has. If you think you love God, the next question is, but do you love your neighbor? Hey. You see, it's when we step out. It's when we speak out. It's when we lay our hands on people. Is it still allowed? Is it still okay? You know, I love when some people come with me, we go to the Pick and Pay, which is our like Costco or your grocery stores. And I look at this lady at the teller and I see something is not right here. And I say, are you okay? She says, no, I'm just feeling sick. I'm like, can I pray for you? Most people actually say yes. I haven't really had people say no, but maybe they'll say no, yeah, I don't know. And then she says yes, and I've got the people in the queues. I can feel how their eyes are burning in my head. I couldn't care. I'll pray for her there, lay hands on her, and trust God to do something. Imagine if everyone here just starts to do things like that again. Hey? Why are you downcast? You see someone, they're looking, are you okay? Are you fine? First they'll probably, are you trying to rob me or something? No, actually, are you okay? Because you see, otherwise we go with these blinders. We're so in this, you know, this rat race and just living all about us and trying to make ends meet. That we miss out this amazing journey. This adventure with Jesus. I mean, I always think of the disciples and I think, you know, it's like the one time when he said to them, yeah, there's a colt. Just go quickly to that town. There's a colt tied and you take it. They're going to say, why are you taking it? Just tell them the Lord needs it and they'll let you go and you bring it. Can you imagine? And there they go and can you believe it? Here's a colt tied and untying it and people are like, hey, what are you doing? It's like, no, the Lord needs it. Oh, okay. It's like, what? And then they take the colt and they bring him back. I mean, just, you know, we while this is happening, here's the Pharisees sitting and talking about do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs and all these things. Hey? No, friend, God has called us on this side with Jesus to this amazing adventure. But you know, for me to be on the adventure, I need to stop what I'm doing and actually get to spend time with Him. So He can start telling me, I want you to go and untie the colt. Hey. And then I can start to do these amazing things for him, hey? You see, likewise, when we start to look with God's eyes at our city, that we will find God's power and provision for the city. You know, that amazing thing, you know, what I love so much recently, we're going through the book of Hebrews, and just that doctrine of the laying on of hands. You know, I don't think we understand what that means. It's not my hands, there's no power in me. But even Jesus says, the works I do is the Father working through me. And God is saying in the same way to you and me, it's when we start to lay hands on people again. Hey? When we start, I mean, you go and just do a study in the Bible, New Testament, about the laying on of hands. All the people wanted is just, it's like a politician. Jesus, just come and kiss my child. Hey? They just want Jesus just to come and touch. Just put your hands. Disciples, just come and put your hands on. And maybe it sounds weird to you, but friend, I'm telling you, it's when we start to step out and do those things again. And start to put our hands, that the power of God will start to come. And God will work through us and change lives, man. Hey? You see, our concerns are often for things. You know, Jonah was more concerned about this little, you know, tree or this little plant that grew over him that covered him from shade than he actually was for a whole city. And in the same way, we can get so concerned about things, about stuff. God's concern is for cities, for multitudes of people made in his image. Why? Because it's in cities that we find cultures, worldviews, politics, laws. All these things are made, and meaning that if we want to change our country, we need to change our cities. Because if I can just, you know, just one family, if we can change one family, and that family can start to change a community, and that community can start to change a city, a country, a continent, amazing things can happen. So often we say, but what can God do through one person? Have you heard of someone called the Apostle Paul? Hey? The least of the apostles, the one who hated him. Have you read what God has done through so many people throughout the history? The question is, if you will be willing, if you will say, here I am, Lord, use me, you will be amazed how he will use you. Hey? So it all starts with someone, I'm almost done, someone who knows the Lord Jesus and does what he tells you to do. So this word from God is far more powerful than many lectures about God. I don't know what it's like here, but there by us, you know, you want to get into all these arguments about predestination and this and that and all of these things. And, you know, it's like, seriously? While we're busy arguing here, there's a city burning. There's a city dying. There's people that do not know their right hands from their left. Actually, we need to, you know, Jesus spoke from God. The Pharisees spoke about God. Interesting, hey? You see, the reason that the church is often ineffective in the workplace and politics and the marketplace and schools and literally every sphere of influence God has placed us is because we're trying to talk to people about God. I'm sure it's not like that here. Instead of telling, let me tell you what God is doing in my life. Where's the testimonies? We always say, you know, people can argue with your theology, but they can't argue with your testimony. When's the last time, I'm challenging our people, saying, when's the last time you've even shared your testimony? You know, some Christians are so, they're like double, triple, quadruple agents in His Majesty's service. I'm not even sure Jesus knows whose are His, you know? It's like, then you think, okay, now He's a Russian, now He's an American. No, now He's a Russian, now He's actually American. And, you know, and so we go. Now, actually, friend, We are called to actually go and make Jesus famous in the city. We want to be from this place. Every church meeting all over the city, there's supposed to be this holy gossip starting about Jesus. When is the last time we gossiped about Jesus? Did you know what he, did you know this Savior? Do you know what this person, you know, all these things? We need that gossip needs to start again. This place needs to be filled. Our streets, our city needs to be filled with the gossip about Jesus. About what he's doing in our lives. What he's doing. You know that person? You know that person? I know when I came to church the first time, there was lots of gossip. You know? I cannot believe this guy is here. I actually had a friend that was at Varsity with me. When he saw me worshiping God, he decided to join the church. It's like, seriously, God must be here if this guy's here. You know? How much more do we need of these stories? This gossip. Can you, that person, that marriage, hey, how God came and he transformed these things. Not just telling it to one another, hey, in our workplaces, in our spheres. So, trying to tell them about our King and his kingdom and actually show them a life. What does a life look like that is fully surrendered to God? In the 21st century, with iPads and Mac and iPhones, you know, is there still people who's willing to surrender their lives to God? Still willing to attempt, like William Carey said, to expect and attempt great things for God. Hey, just think for a moment. I mean, how many words go out every day? We think of newspapers and media and television and conversations. You know, it brings about very little change, does it? Hey? A lot of stuff and talk and things. So what does it do? It means nothing. Let alone advancing the kingdom of God. Whereas one word from God has the power to not only create a world, it has the power to change a nation, to topple evil governments, to part seas, to transform a city, to transform a home, a marriage, a workplace. One word from God. When the reluctant Jonah finally brought a word from God, 7-word sermon, eight words, a whole city got saved. What will happen if you go before God and say, God, will you give me a word for my workplace tomorrow? What will happen? So in conclusion, God says to him, go to that great city of Nineveh. Proclaim to it the message I give you. God is calling you in 2018 and beyond to go into this great city of Edmonton and proclaim the message that he will give you. When last have you asked God for a word for your workplace? Hey? When last have you asked God for a word for your colleagues, for your school friends, for your boss, for your shopping mall, for your grocery store? How amazing is that? Lord, use me there. Give me a word for someone there. For your marriage partner. You see, because God's word in my mouth is able to bring about supernatural, extraordinary things. A word from the Lord makes the impossible possible. You face an impossible situation, praise God. Because that means you've come to the end of yourself. When we stop, God can actually start to do something. Hey? You know, I love Acts 1:8. It says, but you, and I want to say to everyone here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Do you find it hard to witness? Do you find even these things I'm saying, all you want to do is just crawl under your chair? What you need, friend, is just an empowering, a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when he comes upon you, suddenly he makes you as bold as a lion. Hey? So that you can go and declare, you know, be his witnesses in Edmonton, in Alberta, in Canada, and the rest of the world. So let me say, this city at its worst needs this and every other church represented here and beyond to be at its best. The nations are waiting. Just fly here, you'll see. God is bringing them in here by the plane loads. Hey, they're coming. The nations are waiting on our doorsteps. The nations is waiting in your workplace, in your school, in your business, in your sphere of influence. You don't even have to go somewhere. Hey? And God has a message for them, but He wants to give it through you. So will you stop? Will you take the time? Will you hear and ask Him for a word for your sphere of influence? And whatever He tells you, go and do it. Amen.